Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. Last week, Father's Day weekend, you may recall that we heard that Jesus' heart was moved with pity for the crowd. They were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. And seeing that crowd, Jesus did something. He told them to pray for laborers. He called his 12 apostles by name. And then he sent them forth with his power and his authority. They became extensions of his very life and love, extensions of his body. And that life and love could reach more and more people, indeed, all the nations. Today, that same chapter of Scripture, Matthew 10, continues. And while we're not given a full consecutive read of all the verses in Matthew 10, we see that that life of and love of God continues in and through those apostles, and we see how it happens. You know, the verses that are missing are interesting, and it might be worth reading the whole of Matthew 10. Those apostles are going to face persecution. Their own family members would have them locked up for the faith. And it seems to me as though, amidst all of the challenges, Jesus begins to teach them how his life and love can continue to move, how they can still be open channels of his life and love, even in the midst of the challenge. Three times in today's gospel, Jesus tells them to fear not, to be not afraid. There's going to be moments of great fear. And he tells them that amidst those moments, continue to live and to speak the truth. To live and to speak the truth out loud from the housetops. To be not afraid. We also find in this gospel one of the only times, I believe, that Jesus tells his disciples to be afraid. He said that. Did you hear him? He said, be afraid of the one who can kill both body and soul in Gehenna. Who's Jesus talking about? The boogeyman? Some imaginary figure? I think we all know the one who's the deceiver, the distorter, the liar. And those apostles are going to get to know him well as they go out and do their work. Jesus himself knew that one well. And the work of the deceiver, the work of the distorter, is not limited to Gehenna. It's not even limited to Jesus' time. In the first reading today, we hear Jeremiah. And he's hearing the voices, the whispering of the evil one, the false accusations that are landed at him. Paul is familiar with that. Paul says that the whole human race is familiar with it. And that sin entered the world through man. It blocked the way of God. But Paul then speaks of a gift. A gift that's different than the transgression, a gift that's different than the sin. What's that gift? Well, it's the gracious gift of God, namely the gift of God's mercy, the gift of redemption, the gift of salvation, the gift of God's life and love poured out on sinners. Mercy, this beautiful and gracious gift, is not blind to our sin. It's not deaf to the accusations. Rather, it hears and it sees, it experiences everything. And mercy extends itself into those very places, into those very things. And it brings such great healing. I remember one time when I was on a retreat, I made a confession. And this confession was different than any other confession I had had. Not that my sins were different, but the experience I had in the confession. I showed up to the priest's door, and he greeted me standing up at the door holding a crucifix. He looked at the crucifix and he said, "Christopher, behold, the one who died for the sins that you're about to confess, the one who sees you and knows you, the one who endured wounds for you, behold him who was crucified for you." And then he handed me that crucifix. We sat down, and with that crucifix in my hand, I made a confession unlike any other confession. You see, usually I make a confession and I kind of lower my voice when I get to what I consider to be the bad sins. I kind of slip them in the middle, kind of hoping that the priest doesn't hear them or that he hears them but doesn't make a big deal about it. But in that confession, holding the crucified one who sees and knows my sin, I spoke those sins out loud with confidence in God's mercy. And then I received and heard those beautiful words from the priest. "I absolve you from your sins." Words that I hope that you're familiar with. Words that have power to transform our life. Words that certainly have transformed mine. If not for the mercy of God, there is no way in the world that I could be a priest. There's no way that I could stand up here every day and extend the word of God to you. How could I do that? Unless I myself have first received it. Unless I myself first believe it. And my friends, to receive and to believe the mercy of God, this gracious gift of God, is so very important. You see, the devil has his whisper, but God also has a whisper. And he wants us to hear it and to encounter it each day. So when we encounter the accusations of the liar and all his distortions, the gospel today tells us to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Jeremiah did. He said, when he heard the accusations, he said, "The Lord is my mighty champion." When we hear and see the blasphemies and we experience the slippery slope of the snake, and listen, the blasphemies are all over the place. They're in technicolor. When we experience those things, the response is to sing praise and to bless God's name. This past week, I was doing a little task, a little chore with someone. And as he was trying to navigate this difficult thing, it wasn't going as planned. And I could almost feel his frustration. And I heard him say, in frustration, "JC." And I'm not a prude. I felt the frustration. But I also heard the blasphemy. And my friends, how often in our own hearts do we fail to bless and sing praise to honor God's name? I think it may very well be often. God shows us and invites us another way. You see, we are worth more than many sparrows. He tells us today, "Acknowledge me before others, and I will acknowledge you before the Father." Isn't that beautiful? So if for no other reason than a selfish motive, acknowledge God often to others so that he will acknowledge you to his Father. This is the work of being a Christian. And with you as a Christian, I do that work. But for you as pastor, for you as priest, I get to help others in this work as well. Besides being pastor of St. Patrick, many of you know that I'm also the chaplain for the Carriage Apostolate. Carriage is that apostolate within the church that assists men and women who have same-sex attraction, who desire to live a life of virtue, who desire to live a life in the light of Christ, and who are trying to do that. They are people who hear accusations all the time. And I'm privileged to walk with them and to try to help them to praise and to bless God's name, to acknowledge with them Jesus is Lord. And on Friday night, when I gathered with them, I shared with them this quote. And I think it could apply to you, to all of us. Consider this. You have all you need. You have the grace of your baptism, the heavenly manna of Christ's flesh in the Eucharist, the opportunity to confess your sins to a priest, a community of fellow pilgrims and those who have gone before you, the saints, the solace of prayer and silence, the assurance of the promise of salvation, the opportunity to become a saint. We are rich in faith, every single one of us. And if we are not careful, there will come a time when you would give all you have to have that again and not find it. You will remember the heavy smell of incense, the flicker of an offering candle bouncing light off the stained glass windows, the solidness of the oak pews where so many hands have been placed, the unlocked door that allowed you to sneak in for a few moments of quiet. These great graces that we have, we can build up, invest in and recognize them for what they are. Moments to be recognized. Moments to be praised. My friends, if we pay attention and not let these moments pass us by, we will know peace and healing. We will know the gift of being Christian and have all that we need. As we begin this week, let us thank God for His Word and hearing this wonderful teaching. Let us never be afraid. God be with you.